Morning into Hebrews chapter number 11. And as many of you know, that is the roll call of faith. That is the book of faith there, Hebrews chapter number 11. And we want to preach about faith's homecoming. Amen. I tell you what, when you got faith, it's not so much about coming home, but it's about going home. Amen. You know, Amber, she was away for several weeks here as she was working this summer and trying to earn money for college expenses and different things that she's got going on. And, well, she's graduated now and she's into the real world and finds out that work is necessary and work is needful if you want to provide for yourself. And she was away. But the call went out the other day that Amber's coming home. Amen. And I don't know if she was thinking about coming home or going home. Amen. She was in Connecticut, but coming back here. And now she's got her father's up in Connecticut, was up there with him. But this is home. I don't care where she's at. As far as I'm concerned, this is home. Amen. And she wasn't so much as coming home as she was going home. Amen. And I want to preach to you this morning about going home. You know, nowhere in the Bible is the philosophy or the teaching of what we call homecoming taught. We see different examples of people who went away and went. We see the prodigal son as he went into the foreign land and found himself in the hog pen. He said, if I can go back to my father's house, he went home. That was a homecoming. Amen. And when he got there, dad was looking for him and expecting him and excited about the fact that he was coming home. We see Jacob as he was in Padan Aram and he was living with his uncle Laban, and he found out the realities of being away from home. Amen. His wages were changed 10 times and his uncle scammed him and fooled him. Old Jacob, his name actually meant the supplanter, the trickster, the scammer. But the scammer got scammed, amen. And he found out that there was no place like home. And when he got to the realization of where he was and what was happening, he wanted to go home, amen. And he made his way back to his home place. And we see different instances, Ruth and Naomi, as they were in the foreign land, and Ruth was with her mother-in-law, Naomi, and Naomi, after she lost her husband and her sons and told her daughter-in-laws to go back to their homes, she wanted to go home, amen. She wanted to go back to her own people. There's something about being around God's people. There's something about being around those who have a like mind, but praise God, there's nothing as exciting as thinking about going home, amen. Yesterday, we had the great honor to preach a funeral message for Mr. Alex Verity. He lived here in Charlestown many years, and we've seen a great number of people from the town had come out for the funeral service, and we got to preach one of the easiest funeral messages I think I've ever preached, simply because of Mr. Verity's testimony and because of the hope and the anticipation that he had. As we visited with him a few days before he slipped out of this world, he told me, he said, Pastor, I'm not worried, and he said, I'm not afraid of death. He said, the psalmist said, when I go through death's valley, I'm just going through. Amen. He said, I'm not staying there. He said, I'm going through, because he's going to take me through. He said, you see, my treasures, and I love this. He said, my treasures are laid up on the other side. Amen. You know, home is where the heart is. Amen. And home is where we want to go. And Abraham was a man who went on a homecoming journey. And so much more than a homecoming, it was a homegoing that he was looking for. If you found Hebrews chapter 11, we'd invite you to stand with us if you're able, as we reverence and honor the reading of God's word. We'll begin reading in verse number 8 this morning. The Bible says, by faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed. And he went out not knowing whither he went. By faith he sojourned in the land of promise as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Through faith Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore sprang there even of one, and him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky in multitude, and as the sand which is by the seashore innumerable. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. But now they desire a better country, that is, an heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. Brother Jim Cato, would you take us this morning to the throne of grace? Abraham is called throughout the Word of God the father of faith, or the father of the faithful. And we see in him the example that he exhibited in following and trusting God completely, even though at times he tried to help God out and tried to do what God said that he was going to do. He became known, and he became synonymous with faithfulness and with the picture of being faithful. And the Bible tells us right here in Hebrews chapter number 11, in verse number 8, that faith is what moved Abraham to move from where he was to where God wanted him to be. And friends, this morning, we know that many people teach and they preach and they try to convince folks of many things, but you need to realize this morning that you must exercise faith to move from where you are to where God wants you to be. You must act in faith, and you must work in faith, and you must be convinced by faith of what God has said is going to happen. In verse number 8, it tells us he left Ur of the Chaldees, which was his home, to go to the land of promise. You know, the only time in the Word of God that the Canaan land is called the land of promise or the promised land is right here in Hebrews chapter number 11. We know that God had promised it to his people, and God had given it to them, but the word synonymous, the word being connected here together, he was looking for what God had promised, and he was persuaded that God was going to give it to him, and he packed up everything that he had. He was willing to leave everything behind to go where God wanted him to be. He left his possessions. I don't know what kind of an occupation that he may have had in Ur or the Chaldees, but whatever it was, he was willing to leave that behind. He had to go to his family and tell all of his family that he was leaving to go where God had told him to go. Can you imagine the uproar that would have transpired? Well, why are you going to go someplace just because you believe God has told you to go there? Simply, I believe God. Amen. I'm going to move by faith. I'm going to step out on faith. And from Ur, he moved to Haran, where his father that went with him eventually died. You see, he was told to leave everything and to leave everybody behind. He took his father, he took his nephew. They moved to Haran, and there his father died. And from thence he moved on in to the promised land that God had told him to go to. Folks, today many people are wanting something in their life. They're wanting a change in their life. They're wanting their circumstances to turn around, but they're not willing to trust God and step out on faith and move to where God wants you to be. Sometimes it takes great sacrifices to leave behind those things and those places that are comfortable to you, but until we're willing to step out on faith, we'll never find the promises, and we'll never see the promises of God fulfilled in our lives the way that God wants to fulfill them. God had great plans for Abraham, but had Abraham not went where God told him to be, God would never have been able to fulfill those plans in Abraham's life. Amen? It takes a faith to make you step out. The Bible says in verse number 9, by faith he sojourned in the land of promise as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. He dwelt in tabernacles. The Bible is in tabernacles. The Bible is telling us that what he did when he got there, he didn't go and start building. He didn't go and start in a major building program. We're going to build us a house here. We're going to build the barns over there. And we're going to build a vacation home over in this place and this part. The Bible says they dwelt in tabernacles. They lived in tents. They were pilgrims. The Bible tells us later they wandered about the land. They had no permanent dwelling. The only thing that Abraham ever possessed in the promised land, the only thing that ever belonged to him that he could tangibly say was mine apart from what God had promised him was the cave of Machpelah that he bought as a cemetery, as a burying place for his wife and his family. That's the only thing that he ever actually possessed and ever actually tangibly owned and had title to in the land. But God had promised him God had promised him an inheritance in this place. And by faith, Abraham sojourned there. By faith, Abraham stayed there. By faith, Abraham trusted God for what he hadn't seen yet because God had said it. You know, the problem with most of our Christian walk and most of our Christian lives is we only want to trust God when we can see it. Amen. We only want to trust God when we have it right now. We only want to trust God when it's real in our lives right now. As many of you know, my sister, amen, she was stricken, 20 years ago or better?
About 17.
17 years, right? 17 years ago. She was stricken with meningitis, the bad kind. They had her in isolation in ICU. We couldn't even go into the room to where she was. We could stand outside the room and we can look at a window and see her as close as we could get to her. It left her crippled. It left her debilitated. Many of you remember seeing her. Just she would be sitting here in a service and her nerves would just start moving and she would be shaking uncontrollably. Results of the meningitis. She couldn't drive. She had to depend on people to do a lot of things. But she trusted God that God was going to do it. And though she didn't see what God was going to do in her life right then, though she didn't see what God could do immediately, it didn't mean that God wouldn't do it and God couldn't do it. And praise God, one day he touched her life. One day he brought her to the place to where he could let her see and let her know the healing that she had longed for and prayed for and sought and wanted for so many years. And guess what? Now she drives up and down the road. Amen. At one time, it was all she could do to walk with a walker. Amen. See, so sometimes we got to be willing to trust God, even though God hasn't fulfilled and God hasn't done what he told us he's going to do in our time frame. The Bible says he dwelt in the land of promise with his sons and his grandsons. Amen. He dwelt there, never having received any more and never knowing any more of belonging to him in that place than this cave which he had purchased with his own money. But God had promised him everything, so he stayed there. You know, many people, they come to church for a while and things don't start going the way that they want them to go immediately. Amen? And they get mad at God and they quit and they leave. And you go and you talk to them, well, I thought God was going to do this and I thought God. What makes you think he's not? What makes you think he's not? Well, Pastor, you don't understand. You know how many folks, you know how many people in our adult Sunday school class raised their hands and asked prayer for salvation for their family? You know how many people in our Sunday school class has been praying for their spouses, has been praying for their families, has been praying for their loved ones for years after year after year? You know how many people have prayed for a loved one and finally get to see a loved one get saved. It didn't happen immediately, but they trusted God. My friend, Rich Maxfield, I wrote a eulogy for him. They said it described him to the T. He was probably, you hear the Bible talk about mighty men. David had his mighty men. Rich was probably the mightiest man, strongest man I ever knew. When I got hurt, when I cut my leg almost all the way off, they was trying to get me down off this machine. He was my friend. He'd get out of the way. He picked me up and carried me like I was a little baby, like I wasn't nothing. Strong as a boy, hand this wide. I mean, I said, you ain't got hands. You got feet on the end of your arms, bud. I said, man, ain't nothing human got a hand like that. His retirement ring, I kid you not, his retirement ring was that big around. I mean, it looked like a big bushing you'd use for just a mighty, mighty man. But wouldn't give his heart to the Lord. I'd witness to him, and I mean, we talked to one another right plain. And I just tell him, "So when are you going to give your old black, nasty, wretched heart to the Lord? When are you going to surrender?" I don't need that. His dear wife, every time she see me, she said, "Blade, don't stop praying for Richie. Don't stop praying for Richie. Don't stop praying for Richie." She said, "I've been praying. They've been married 50 years. And she said, "Don't stop praying for Richie." Rich had strokes. Wound up in the hospital. Last time I talked to him, when he was able to talk to me back and forth, last thing I did to him was witness to him one last time. I said, "Rich, you know, you always tell them fellas at work he's going to slap them upside the head if they didn't straighten." He would too. "You go slap them upside the head and get their attention." I said, "God has slapped you upside the head. He's got your attention. Are you going to give him your heart?" "Not tonight, Blade, not tonight." But praise God, he had another stroke the next day. And his sister-in-law was there and said, "Richie, don't you think it's time to ask the Lord into your heart?" He said, "Yeah." He gave his heart and life to God. But you know what? If his wife hadn't prayed for him for 50 years, she was expecting, she said, "I knew God was going to save him. And if this is what it took for him to get saved, if this is what it took for me to know that I'm going to see him on the other side, it was worth it." And she prayed, and she prayed, and she prayed, though she never seen any fruit, though she never seen anything happening. But she didn't realize, because she faithfully trusted in God, one day God was going to do what God said he would do. Amen. He said, if we pray, and if we pray in faith, believing, he'll answer our prayers. And praise God, he answered her prayer. Amen. Just because you don't see it today doesn't mean that God's not faithful. He left where he was and he sojourned in the land of promise, living in tabernacles, and his sons and his grandsons, they're with him. They never got to say that this is ours, but this has been promised to us. Amen. The only thing they had was the promise. They didn't have the possession. God said, "Look around you, Abraham. Look to the north, the east, the south, and the west. It's all yours. I'll make your seed as numerable as the stars in heaven, as the sand of the sea." He said, "Just stand faithful. Just believe me." But see, Abraham wasn't looking for what everybody else was looking for. Verse 10, "For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker was God. You see, he wasn't looking for the temporal. So many times we read God's word and we're looking for the temporal, the tangible things that we can see, feel, and touch. And we're not expecting the spiritual things which God can do. And we don't want to wait on God to do what only God can do when God wants to do it. But praise God, Abraham wasn't looking for what everybody else was looking for. He was looking for what God had for him. Amen. You know, the problem with so many of us is we come to the house of God, we're looking for what everybody else is looking for instead of what God has for us. Amen? We journey out into the world and we're wanting what everybody else tells us that we should have and what everybody else tells us what we need. And we find out that no matter what you get, I like Brother L's message the other night. He said, you know, he said, I used to try to satisfy myself. He said, I would go see something and I'd want something. I'd go buy it. He said, it would satisfy me for a little while. And then it grew old. You all got them. I'm going to say a bunch of middle-aged men. How many of you got a multitude of midlife crises laying around your house somewhere? Or a guy, he went up and bought him a motorcycle and was afraid to ride it. He spent thousands of dollars putting chrome all over a brand new Harley. I mean, and was afraid to ride it. I used to ask her, I said, when are you going to sell that midlife crisis? That's all I called it, a midlife crisis. When are you going to sell that midlife crisis? He says, one of these days. He said, but the problem is I'll sell it. I'll go buy another one. And he did. He sold that midlife crisis and he had another one. Amen. And that's the way we are. Amen. We want what the world tells us that we need. Amen. We want what the world says is important, and we miss what God has for us. If Abraham would have been looking from the world's view and from the world's eyes as he traveled into the promised land, he would have been running around. He had been buying this place, and he had been buying property here, buying property there, buying this up and buying that up. He'd have been trying to obtain everything he could by his own means and according to his own abilities, and he wouldn't have had near what God had in store for him. He wasn't looking for what man was expecting. And what man's expectations were, but praise God, he was expecting and looking for what God's expectations were. He wasn't looking for a piece of land in the desert. He was looking for a city whose builder and maker was God, who had a firm foundation and who had something that was more exciting than what this world could ever offer him. Amen. You see, he wasn't worried about where he'd come from. He wasn't worried about where he was. Amen. But he was excited about where he was going. Amen. Then look on down, verse number 11. Look what it says here. Through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore sprang there even one of him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky in multitude, and as the sand which is by the seashore innumerable. These all died in faith, not having received the promise, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers. Amen. They were pilgrims and strangers and pilgrims on the earth. Amen. Look at this. You know, faith keeps your expectations real. Amen. Abraham's faith kept his expectations real. Amen. Abraham's faith kept his expectations real. Amen. Sometimes we get wrapped up in different things, and they preach it and they teach it and they try to expound it in religious circles, being about faith, and well, God doesn't want any of his people to be sick, and God doesn't want any of his people to suffer, and God doesn't want this and God doesn't want that, and folks get discouraged and disappointed because they've been taught this, and it's not what the Word of God says. Amen. This wealth and prosperity gospel will let you down. Because when the wealth and prosperity preacher tells you that you're never going to suffer a sickness if you're a child of God and if you put your faith in God, he's lying to you. Amen? the wealth and prosperity preacher that tells you that you'll never be poor and you'll never suffer and you'll never do without the things that you want because God wants you to have all these things is going to disappoint you because one of these days you're going to want to have some things that God's going to say, no, you can't have them. Amen. But when we put our faith in God and we trust God and we depend upon God and we believe that God is faithful and just and we believe that God loves us. We've been teaching in Sunday school class about God is love and the love that God loves us with is an agape love. It's a love that's not based on emotions or feelings, but it's a love that's based on principle and God always does what's right. Amen. And God always does what's needful. Amen. When we place our faith in a God like that, we don't have to worry about the rest of it. Amen. You know, was it Lee Greenwood? Said, I'm glad to be an American. If tomorrow was tomorrow, I should lose everything I got. But my children and my wife, and blah, 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 we'd go on. I don't know the whole deal. I can't remember it all. I've heard it so many times, but, you know. If I think about it, I would remember it all, but then I have to sing it to remember it. Amen? But you don't want to hear that. Amen? But the thing of it is, if I lost everything, I'd be glad I'm in America, but I'd be even more glad to know that I'm trusting Jesus. Amen? I'm trusting Jesus for it all. When I don't understand it, I'm going to trust Jesus. Through faith, Sarah herself received strength. Sarah, she had issues back in Genesis chapter 18 when the Lord appeared unto Abraham, a theophany, a representation of God himself came and appeared to Abraham as he sat in the door of his tent in the plains of Mamre. There he come and he talked to Abraham and he said, yeah, Sarah is going to have a child in yet a year. He was waiting and he'd been waiting now 25 years in chapter 15 of the book of Genesis, about 3 or 4 years out of Ur of the Chaldees. Abraham is asking God, said, God, what you going to do for me now? You've promised all these things, but what you going to do for me? The only thing I have, the only heir I have is the servant of mine, Eliezer of Damascus. He's not my son. He's my servant. Is this going to be my heir? And God made a covenant with him. God made a promise with him. God assured him beyond a shadow of a doubt that he was going to have a child. And then Abraham said, well, if God says I'm going to have a child, we'll work this out ourselves. And his wife said, here, have a child by my slave, my servant, Hagar. That didn't work out. God says, that's not there. That's not what I promised. See, sometimes we want to take God's promises and we want to accept God's promises, but we don't want to trust God for his promises and in his promises, and we try to circumvent God. We try to help God out sometimes. Let me tell you something. God doesn't need our help. Amen? God just needs our faith. Verse number 6, chapter 11. For without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Amen. God doesn't want us to do what he said he's going to do. He just wants us to trust that he's going to do what he said he's going to do. He said, why did Sarah laugh? Why is Sarah laughing at what I said there in Genesis chapter 18? He said, I said, she's going to have a child. She's going to have a child. Why is she laughing? Sarah said, I didn't laugh. He said, oh, yeah, you did. He said, listen. He said, is anything too hard for the Lord? Is anything too hard for, you know, there's nothing that God can't do. There's nothing that God can't do that he wants to do. Amen. Now, God always does right because agape love is a love of principle. God is love. And it compels and it leads you into doing what is right. But Sometimes we question God's. You said, God, if I prayed for my family, you'd save them. But I haven't seen anything yet. Well, is anything too hard for God? Maybe you haven't been on your knees enough yet. Maybe you haven't been broken enough yet. Maybe you haven't trusted Him enough yet. Maybe you haven't believed Him enough yet. You say, I need healing. He says, I'm going to heal you. But God's promises are relevant. Relevant to what? They're relevant to what trust we place in Him. Are we trusting God for what we have here and what we see and what we know now? Or for what God has promised us? God's promised us eternal life. God's promised us a home in glory. God's promised us more than what we have and more than what we're dwelling here. Abraham, his sons, his grandson, all dwelt in Canaan. All lived there. Sarah, his wife, having borne the children that God said she would have, she bore to one of her own accord. She bore another, the child of the promise, amen. And God honored both of these children's lives according to what He'd promised Abraham. He rose two great nations up out of them, amen. But you know what the Bible says? It says, these all died in faith, not having received the promise. He brought them to the promised land, but yet they didn't possess it. He brought them to the promised land, and they dwelt there in their tents, and they moved from place to place. They had their things taken from them. They had their difficulties. They had their struggles, but they kept trusting and believing God. Even though it seemed impossible, they kept trusting and believing God. Even though it seemed impractical and improbable, they kept trusting God. And the Bible says they kept trusting because they seen them afar off. Do you believe today that God is going to work in your life and work in the things that you've been praying for? Do you see it afar off? Can you see it happening? Can you see it real? Can you see it through faith's eye in your own life? He said, for they even confessed of themselves. They were strangers and pilgrims on earth. Are you taking up all your hope and all your confidence and all your treasures here? Or do you see yourself and can you confess yourself just what they did as a stranger and a pilgrim in this world below? Amen. All I have here is what God has blessed me with and what God has given me. Amen. But you know what? Solomon, the preacher in the book of Ecclesiastes, says, when I die, it's all going to be somebody else's. You know what happens when most folks die, old folks die? She wants us to go together. That's probably going to involve pain. Car accident, plane crash, you know, ship sinking, I don't know, you know, terrorist attack. You know, it's not going to be peaceful and pretty. But you know what's going to happen? My kids is going to come up and all the things that, how dear they're going to call, they might call the junk man, I don't know. Rick tried to get there before him. Tried to salvage it, brother. But most of the time, they call an auctioneer in. And all the things that were dear to me are going to mean nothing because they're all going to belong to somebody else. They're all going to get sold for pennies on the dollar. And be dispersed. She said, if I die before her, on her way to Crouches, she's stopping at the real estate office. And putting the farm up for sale. I said, you wouldn't sell my farm? She said, in a heartbeat. See, we place so much value on the things that we have here. But if we get our frame of mind in the same frame of mind that Abraham and Sarah Isaac and Jacob had. They confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims. We're just passing through. Our life is as a vapor that appeareth for a little time. You know, if I lived to be 100 years old, that's just a speck in the time clock of eternity. It's nothing compared to what eternity is. It's just not even, it's barely even a thought. But we place so much emphasis, so much faith, and so much trust in what we have here. Instead of realizing that down here we're just strangers, we're just passing through, we're pilgrims. Our faith and our trust needs to rest in our Savior, needs to rest in our Lord and in our God. Look at verse 14. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. They were looking. They were looking for what God had promised and what God would provide. You know, the question to ask yourself today, what am I looking for? What am I looking for? Am I looking for a promotion? Am I looking to hit the man? I heard last night that somebody, one person, held the winning ticket in the Illinois state lottery or something like that. $312 million, I think it is. One person, are you looking to get rich? You looking to hit the lottery? Are you looking to be famous? What is it that you're looking for? You see, Abraham dwelt in the land of promise. We sing the song, Standing on the Promises. We talk about our faith and we talk about clinging to every word that he says. Not one promise that he's made has failed and they haven't. But what are you looking for? What's your expectation? What's your hope? They were looking for a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. You see, they were looking forward. By faith's eye, they were looking forward. But by the eyes of flesh, we want to look backward. Well, God said this, but I haven't seen it yet, but I knew back there I had this. God has promised me that he was going to do this for me, but he hasn't done it yet, but back there I had this. You know, the one thing that the Word of God holds out to the addicted person that comes to him and trusts in him is that he has something better for you than what you have left behind. You just got to be trusting him and expecting him and depending on him and looking to him for what he's going to give you and what he's promised you. He never promised you it would be easy, but he promised you he would always be there. He promised Abraham that he was going to give him an inheritance. And when Abraham had his fears and his doubts, who was it that always showed up? It was the Lord. Who was it that was always there to encourage him? It was the Lord. Who is it that's with us in our darkest hours and through our greatest trials? Isn't it the Lord? Amen. Amen. Who is it that helps us to keep our vision and our focus going forward instead of looking behind? I don't know about you, but I don't want to go back to where I was before. I don't know about you. I don't want to go back to where I was yesterday. I don't know about you, but praise God, if Jesus decided to come this afternoon, that would be perfectly all right with me. Amen. Why? I've got all these plans. I look like a Smith brother on a cough drop box. Before I ever get, ask Bryson, man, I got more junk to do than the law allows. I got more projects, more irons in the fire. I'm starting to get rid of some stuff, though. You know, give it away. I told my wife last night, I give my nephew something he wanted. I give him a few things. I just take them. just get them out of here. So I ain't looking at them. I ain't thinking about doing something with them. Why? Because I'm looking forward. I'm looking ahead. I'm looking to what he has, and I don't want to go back. I don't want to be encumbered with the things that will encumber me. I don't want to dwell in where I've been, but I want to look at where I'm going. Amen. I don't want to dwell back in Ur of the Chaldees. I want to dwell in the promises that God has given me. I want to stand on these promises, look for these promises, hope in these promises, and anticipate these promises. Why? Because God has made them to me. And God is faithful. Amen. He's faithful. But now, they desire a better country. That is in heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. They were looking forward and not behind. They were looking with expectation and not disappointment. They were desiring better than what they had before and what they had in the past. They were desiring better tomorrow than what they had today, because it might be the day that God takes them home to that celestial city. God takes them home to that place that he had prepared. Jesus said, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. He said, in my Father's house are many mansions. He said, if I go to prepare a place for you, that where I am, there you may be also. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. They were looking for a city because they were looking for God. They were looking for a city because they were anticipating a better country, that is, in heavenly. They were looking for a city not made by hands. They were looking for a city that God had prepared. The Apostle Paul said, for we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, an house not made with hands, eternal in the heaven. For in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house which is from heaven. If so, that being clothed, we shall not be found naked. For we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened, not for that we would be unclothed, but clothed upon, that mortality might be swallowed up of life. Now he that hath wrought us for the selfsame thing is God, who also hath given unto us the earnest of the Spirit. Therefore we are always confident, knowing that whilst we are at home in the body, we're absent from the Lord, for we walk by faith, not by sight. We are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. I don't know about you. I'm expecting something better. I don't know about you. I told my pastor, Brother Donnie Cogdell, if I go before you do, I want you to preach my funeral. And I want you to preach my funeral from that passage of scripture right there. He's got it wrote down in his Bible. Dennis's funeral message. Why? Because I'm just a pilgrim and a stranger. I'm just a passing through, as each of you are. But I'm looking for a city. I'm looking for a home that's heavenly. I'm looking for a home that's eternal. I'm looking for a home that Jesus has gone to prepare. I'm looking for a home that God has made ready for me. But so many are passing through, and they're not looking for that home. So many are passing through that don't have a hope of that home because they've never asked Jesus into their heart. Thomas asked Jesus there in John 14. He says, well, Lord, how can we know? Where are you going? How can we know how to get there? Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. by faith this morning, I've trusted Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. By faith this morning, I look forward to that home that He's prepared for me. By faith this morning, I don't fear. As Mr. Verde told me just a few short days ago, I don't fear going through Death Valley. It's the getting there that bothers me. But Death Valley doesn't hold no fear to me. Why? Because I place my faith and trust in Jesus. My affections are set on things above. My treasures are laid up there. You know what that treasure is? Jesus. Amen. You know what that treasure is? My Savior. You know what that treasure is? My Redeemer. You know what that treasure is? Jesus taught about the pearl of great price. Amen. It was worth getting rid of everything, selling everything, leaving everything behind for. Have you this morning placed your faith in Jesus? Have you asked Him into your heart? Do you have that confidence that if you would die today, and let me tell you, none of us have a promise of another moment. Young person, old person, rich or poor, death holds no respect to who you are. I've buried babies. I buried little children. I've been to funerals of teenagers who have died. I've had good friends stricken down in their 20s and 30s in the prime of their life. I've left old saints and old reprobates at the cemetery. None of us are exempt. None of us have a promise of another day, another time. But by faith, you can see a homecoming that's more important than anything that will ever happen down here. By faith, you can see what God has promised. By faith, you can see what God has prepared. By faith, you can be a partaker of that inheritance that God has reserved for those who've trusted Him. Brother Jim, Sister Mary, let's get a song.